Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the gospel lesson. Some guy comes up to Jesus and says, "Hey, fix things. My brother got more out of my inheritance than I did. Make sure I get my share." Well, the bottom line is with the inheritance then is the inheritance now wasn't his to begin with. It was his parents, and how they divided it basically was up to them, not up to him. But he wasn't happy. He wanted somebody to make sure he got his share. And so Jesus said, "Hey, who decided that I'm going to be an arbiter for you? I got better things to do than settle this stuff for you. You need to understand you get what you get, and I'm not going to undo it for you." And so he told him this loaded parable, and it's a beaut. This guy had a great setup, and he really did well. His crops did well. In fact, they did so well that he didn't have a place to store them all. So he got a great idea. He said, "Hey, you know, I come up with this great idea. I stayed up all night long and I thought of this thing. I'm going to rip down all my barns and I'm going to build new ones that are bigger and better than the ones I had before. They're going to be so big, they're going to store all the stuff that I got and all the stuff I'm going to have, and then I'm going to have enough. But I won't have enough till then." So, says to himself, "When I've accomplished this, I can say to myself, 'Soul, now you can relax. You got it all. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" And the punchline is, and the word came down to him, the Lord said, "Fool, it's done. What you have is going to somebody else." The idea, you got to be rich toward God and not toward individuals. Parables pointed, no question about it. What's the need of riches, or what's the value of riches, or is it desirable? I guess you got to look at what it is. The possession of goods and things are seem to be, at least now, and as then too, you know, thousands of years ago, same business. The possession of things seem to define people. And you know, you can say it doesn't, but it does. If you got more than the other guy and you got much more than all the rest of them, people listen to you more. 99% of the people in this country do not have the wealth. 1% has 99% of it. And I guarantee you, they don't care what happens to you because they got theirs. But the bottom line is just exactly what the parable says. The time's going to come and it's going to be gone. You're going to be gone, and it's not going to be there. You heard the lesson that Sarah read. You know, there's going to be a time when this stuff that you've got is going to be somebody else's. Think about it. I mean, you may have worked your whole life to get this, that, and something else, and you were sure it was the way you wanted it, but the time's going to come when you're not going to be here anymore, and somebody else is going to get it. Does that give you any happiness? Does that make you feel good? Or does that make you feel really uncomfortable because you got a pretty good idea who's going to get it and you really don't want them to get it anyway? That's why you go to a lawyer and you write a will. But you could write a will and then they take it to a judge and the judge throws it out and says, "Well, you know, there must be a hole in here something because we're going to undo this." So you can tell everybody what you want, but it won't necessarily happen that way. What is it, where is it that really counts? Where's the riches that are going to be something beneficial to you when this life ends? Are they going to be in the bank? You know, it's said you can't take it with you. And there's some truth there. Not that some people haven't tried. I swear they probably tried to figure they could buy God off and they could get whatever they wanted. There's the old story about the Italian funeral where people were putting in money in the casket. The one guy came along and he wrote a check and put it in the casket. So the guy said, "Why'd you do that?" "Well, you know, if he can cash it, fine." But, you know, what is it? What is stuff? Somebody said the reason we're not like the old people in the Middle East, we're not like them. We can't move along like they did. They can pick up their stuff, put it on a camel, and go to the next place. The thing that holds us is stuff. Stuff is great. We spent a few minutes before we got in here. My wife's niece decided she was going to bring some garbage from Alabama, where her father died, who dragged all this crap down from New York with him. And she brought up this garbage that we keep telling her, leave it there, don't bring it here. So on the share table, there's a pile of this stuff. If you want it, take it. It was her mother and grandmother's stuff, and it's junk. It's not stuff, well, to them, it was. I mean, they were great possessions as far as they were concerned. Fantastic stuff they wanted. Gotta have it. I guess her grandmother had a specific place she displayed these things, so everybody knew they were there. To us, they were just in the way, trying to knock down the stuff. So who owns it anyway? And is riches, is property, is stuff really intrinsically evil? You know, there would be people who would take this parable and say, well, riches are evil. You can see that it makes people mad, and they're really not good, and they're not really held out by God as a thing to have. I don't think riches are evil. It's what you do with them that can become evil real quick when you abuse other people, because what you've got is more than what they've got. But even the richest, even the 1% that have 99%, one of these days the bell's going to toll for them. And what they got is going to go to somebody else. What do you worship, God or stuff? You've got to make the choice. I can't make it for you. Nobody else can either. I can give you a recommendation, but the choice has got to be yours. What's the deal? And are you concerned about what's going to happen to it when you're not here anymore? In that first lesson, you know, vanity of vanities, you strive your whole life, you do all this stuff, and then you're gone and somebody else got it, and it probably wasn't anybody you approved of. When I was a kid, I remember my mother getting all bent out of shape. Because when they divided up my grandmother's stuff, my aunt got this old color TV set, and it wasn't new by any means. But for months, she griped and moaned and groaned because she got the TV set, and she thought she should have. Tell me you haven't seen things like this happen with families. When the thing was all over, nobody was happy about how the stuff got divided. Probably the smartest guy in the world is the guy who dies with 69 cents in his pocket, and it's all finished. There's nothing for the family to fight about. There's nothing left. There's nothing to be given to somebody else, taken by somebody else, or disagreed about by somebody else who thinks they got cheated. So Jesus says to this guy who comes, hey, you know, be the divider for me. I don't think I got my fair share. He said, not me. I'm not doing that. And then he threw him this parable. Who's got the riches? Where are they from? What's the source? Where'd they come from in the first place? The stuff we've got was somebody else's before ours. I got a pile of old junk in the basement that probably when I die, my wife will pull up a dumpster and just dump all of it in the dumpster because she won't know what to do with it. Plus, she'd probably develop a hernia trying to haul it out of the basement. But this stuff was all somebody else's before I got it. It'll be somebody else's afterward, or it'll go to the trash, whichever. Stuff stays. It just goes from person to person. What are we going to do with what we've got? What can we do? What's God expect us to do? What's it possible to do with what we've got and been given? God gave us the stuff. God gives us the intelligence to understand what to do with it. Help us to do it, understand it, and be happy with it at the end. So we're not like the guy who said, hey, divide for between me and my brother because I think I'm coming up short. None of us have come up short. We've all been forgiven our sins. We've all been given hope. We all get the gift of the blood and body of Jesus Christ. Can't get better than that. And I guess we have to live with what we've got, do the best we can with whatever it is, and not be too unhappy in the fact that one of these days, it's going to belong to somebody else. Go in peace. Enjoy it now. One of these days it's going to be gone, and so are we. God bless us all.